Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
4 o'clock hour brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lures. 766-1400 is the number. The call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. We are in Northern Nevada, and Battleborne brings that to you every Monday through Friday from 4 to 5. In the north, there is an office in Reno. You can dial 775-766-1400. T&M on this Thursday. Basketball game coming up, so we're jam-packed. Cofield and Company up until 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock until 6:30. The Dan Mullen Radio Show, 6:30, a running Rebel warm-up with Tim Neverett and myself at some point on that show as we get ready for St. Joe's. St. Joseph's is in town to take on your Rebels with a 7 o'clock tip. So get on out here, UNLVtickets.com. Tickets are available for this and, of course, the Hawaii football game tomorrow, Ninth Island Showdown, as they're looking for a monster crowd because you can guarantee the Hawaiians are going to turn out to the tune of 6,000, 7,000, 8,000. That's consistently been what they've brought here, and maybe people didn't notice back in the Sam Boyd days. But if you weren't here, that used to be an incredible atmosphere. And last time at Allegiant, there were a ton of Hawaii fans. So much so, well, beforehand, the DC for Hawaii said that the Hawaii fans would actually outnumber the Rebel fans. That's not how it turned out. There was a call to get out and buy tickets, so we'll see. Hopefully Rebel fans respond. Hopefully Las Vegas respond and go see what's going to be a really cool game, a freaking shootout, tomorrow night at Allegiant. Let's get to the Big Four.
Battleborne Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Now, Jeff, you know, and you can tell people because you're like a Vegas local now, you've been here long enough, that if you are going to Allegiant Stadium this weekend, you need to avoid the Strip. And that means you need to avoid probably one or two streets east and west of the Strip because lots is shut down. And because roads are shut down, that means the other areas where you're like, oh, I'll just slip in here. Like, you better know by now you're not going on Koval. But everything's a little jammed up here about two, three blocks east and west. That said, I'm excited about F1 being here. I'm not going to partake in it, I don't think, unless I'm able to wrangle some free tickets on Saturday or some kind of hookup. I'm working a lot of games and doing a lot of shows, but I want to check it out. I think it's a really cool spectacle, and I do think it is good for the town.
It's good for the town. I will say it's been much better in the lead-up this year. We talked about it on Monday. I mean, going to Ellis Island on Monday was easy. It took an extra 3-4 minutes. It was nothing crazy. I'm excited. I'm curious to see, and again, I... Cofield, there is still a 50-50 chance of rain on Saturday. So
yeah, I saw that. I don't know how that works out.
It could be a total, it could be a big, big mess. But, you know, also, too, unlike in past years where Max Verstappen had everything all sewn up for the Drivers' Championship, it's not the case this go around. So should be a fun time. It'll be a good race. And also, the start of the race got moved up from where it's been past years, right? It's 2 years. Isn't it 2 hours earlier this year than it was last year?
I'm going to make you an offer. Arash Markazi, our LA insider, Vegas insider, as much as Adam Hill hates to hear that. Arash tweeted, "You can stay at the Flamingo tonight for $8. Now, the resort fees are $57.
So it's 50 then.
So
right?
The resort fees are $57.
Oh, okay.
And said that today you can get, for the Thursday festivities, you can get a GA ticket to the Grand Prix for $36. Do we have any takers? Las Vegas locals, do we have any takers?
What even happens tonight, by the way? Is it qualifying tonight? I know the big qualifier is tomorrow, but
it's a good question. They have Thursday tickets.
Okay.
We'll look into it for you. So you should look into it. That's a nice staycation.
Flamingo, you got dead center. Hey, look, could do worse. Could do worse.
Well, you were just raving about Flamingo and Koval. How easy it was the other day.
65. Well, when the Strip's got to shut down at some point, right? I do get my free parking at Caesars with just second tier status, so that's not too bad.
I will say, so I live a little north of the Strip, not very far north, but I live a little north of the Strip. When I was coming down the 15 south, I got off at Spring Mountain because I was like, I'm going to snake on the west side and then kind of like, you know, go south and then turn left and get over here to the Thomas and Mack. I did notice that the ramp to Spring Mountain off the 15 coming south was closed, which I'm kind of wondering. I think I know the way, but I'm kind of wondering how I'm getting to Treasure Island on tomorrow and on Saturday. So, but I love that it's here. I will stick to my guns. I love that F1 is here, even if it inconveniences me just a little bit. It's going to be okay. Number three.
Number three.
All right, I've monopolized the conversation. I apologize. Sometimes that happens when we're in separate locations. Parles is back in our Finley Toyota studios. I'm here at Thomas and Mack. I was talking to Xavier Pope about Joe Mazzulla. I find this dude completely fascinating. For people who didn't hear this cut, it's Kids Day. There's a young kid. I don't know what he is, 11 or 12. He delivers a great question, and Mazzulla's answer, I can hear you in the background. I'm going to play it again here. Well, James is. I want to get Jeff's reaction to Joe Mazzulla and this answer.
It's Kids Day here at the Garden. How do you balance pushing players to improve while also keeping the game fun for them?
Yes, I struggle with that, to be honest with you. I think everyone has a different definition of fun. And, you know, I think fun's a cop-out sometimes when things aren't going well. Everybody likes to say, well, let's just have fun. And it's like, well, you know, what does that mean? You know, that phrase can be a cop-out sometimes. So as you get older, kid, don't use it, you know? It's like, oh, I just want to have fun. It's like, well, what does that mean?
Okay, Jeff.
This is one. That's one of the best quotes I've heard in a very long time.
To a kid.
To a kid. That's what makes.
But I appreciate the honesty.
No, look. Honesty is important in life. Mazzulla, he's a robot essentially. He doesn't seem. He is a robot. And you know, you're right. I think what you said. He's a fascinating dude. But the fact that this was in response. By the way, you and Xavier said this. Great job by the kid. Like, just tremendous job. Professionally put together. Really good question. Better than, I would say, 60% of media at this point, what that kid did. Maybe even more than 60%. And Mazzulla gave him a professional answer. And to me, I thought it was hysterical the way he answered that. And you know what? He's not wrong. It's all in the eye of the beholder. Everything. Fun. Just life in general, and Mazzulla is a robot, and it was a perfect robotic answer.
Okay, what do you think of that answer if it's from someone in our business, in radio, sports radio?
I still think it's a good answer. I still think it's funny. It's made even more funny by the fact that it was, well, how old was this kid? 9, 10 years old?
Right.
I mean, that's what makes it even funnier.
I like that he said, like, right off the bat, he's like, I have a problem with this. Like, personal, like, taking accountability, like, he realizes that he's got issues.
Oh, my God.
The reason I share a brain with Joe Mazzulla, and for people who've listened for a long time, that is kind of my attitude in the workplace. I'm not there to have fun. I'm there to work. And I would guarantee that to a man or woman over the years, the people I've come in contact with at work are like, what is wrong with that guy? But I think Joe Mazzulla might be the same thing where people are like, what's going on with this dude? Like, I'm there to work. I'm not there to have fun. You know what the fun is? Is here for the 3 hours. I work to set up the fun. Now, if you don't listen to the fun, yay, fun, then you don't get it. But every second of the day is getting ready for the show or promoting the show. Then there's no fun. So I love what Joe Mazzulla said. If you're having fun, then that means you got too much time. Let's go. Let's get to work.
Joe Mazzulla would have been a perfect pre-NIL college coach.
Yes.
He would have been perfect. Where it'd been like Saban after winning the national championship. What's up next? Oh, we got to watch the tape and get ready for recruiting. Yeah, gee, thanks. Not even enjoying it for a second.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, I think, early on I didn't understand him. And now the more I hear him speak, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, that's the kind of guy I would like to play for. You know what I mean? If I was an NBA player or a college player and he was coaching in college, like, yeah, let's go. Let's achieve. You want to jerk around. You want to be not dedicated. You want to be a bus kid. Then eventually you're going to get fired when the Nepo stuff runs out. Get out. Next up.
Number two.
Firing shots, strays at the bus kids. Two of them got let go today by the Lakers. Now, speaking of curmudgeons, how about this one? Heroic story. Joe Burrow could be back this weekend. I thought he was out until freaking week 15. He may be back for the Bengals. There's something to play for. There's hope. It's alive in Cincinnati. Maybe they start winning. Everyone's going to have lots of money, win their bets. Skyline Chili for everyone. Let's go. Let's go. And then here comes Jeff Parles over the top, and he's like, what's the point of him playing?
There is no point in him playing.
Yes, there is. They're 3-7. They can still make it.
They're done.
The division's terrible.
I know they have to play the Ravens twice, and they have to. But look at this, Cofield. They go New England this week. I don't care if Burrow plays. That defense is dreadful. They're going to give up 30 plus points, and Burrow could score 40. But they've been putting up over 30 a game with Flacco, and they've won one game. They've won one game. They beat the fraudulent Steelers in that Thursday night game and then lost by 22 to them this past week. Then you have Baltimore on a short week on Thanksgiving night, by the way. Then you have to go to Buffalo, and then you have Baltimore again. If Joe Burrow plays, they still are going to be 4. It could very easily be 4-10 after this stretch. No reason to do it. Save them unless you want to get crazy here for a second, Cofield. Let's get crazy. There's a football team you and I both unfortunately root for that has an amazing amount of draft picks. You want to get Joe Burrow back out there so to prove he's not made of glass fully? Hey, New York Jets, give us all those draft picks you just accumulated. I'd have to consider it if I'm the Jets. Known commodity as opposed to an unknown commodity.
It sounds totally insane, but if there's anyone who would look at Joe Burrow as an issue because of the money he makes, it's Mike Brown.
That's the only reason it's in play, because of who owns the Cincinnati Bengals.
I like how you twisted that around and somehow turned into a shining light, a beacon of hope for the Jets.
See, I do have hope. I can't say I don't have any hope for anyone, but I have no hope for the Bengals. No hope for the Bengals, even if Joe Burrow comes back.
They could I'm not going to say easily. They could also be 7-7 after the stretch. It can happen. All shootouts.
And then we have a different discussion, because then they will have swept the Ravens and split with the Steelers, and then all of a sudden the Bengals might win the AFC North. But I think they're losing on Sunday, so I think
give me 3-1 with a sweep of the Ravens, and I'll speak as a Bengals fan. We're right back in it. Top story.
Number one.
Parles, I know you're looking forward to the Browns and the Raiders game, and I got hooked by your statement. Curious to see if the Raiders actually have some juice for this game against the Browns. They better. They better. What do you think? They should be fired up. I mean, I keep saying that because they've suffered many embarrassing losses this year. If you can't get fired up after a game like that against the Cowboys where there were so many mistakes, come on, man. Why are you playing the game?
Cofield, this is the most juicy 2-8 versus 2-8 I can ever remember, right? I mean,
yes.
It's so juicy, but it's just everything. Like Shador tweeting after every Raider loss, the fact that we know that Shador wanted to be a Las Vegas Raider, the fact that the Raiders passed on him a zillion times, the fact that Crosby was speaking up this week if we're going to make life miserable for him, which you should. That's how you should make life miserable for every single quarterback you play. And it just comes after that was a disaster on Monday. I don't care they only lost by 17. That game was never in doubt that the Dallas Cowboys were going to win that football game. Show up, beat a team that you're equal, or actually, quite frankly, the Raiders are still better than the Cleveland Browns, even with all their issues. Show up. Beat a team you're supposed to beat with a rookie quarterback making his first career start. Go beat them. And if not, then we might have to start having a discussion of this is a one-and-done crew that's coaching this team this year.
We're heading towards the Dan Mullen radio show. You can listen to it right here on ESPN Las Vegas. That starts up at 6 o'clock. Run a Rebel warm-up is 6:30, and then tip right here on ESPN Las Vegas for St. Joe's and UNLV. 7 o'clock on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM. Not their expertise, but maybe CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens want to sue. I don't know who they would sue for defamation, but update on that rumored story about CeeDee Lamb and Pickens having a late night. We'll get you the info on that from the horse's mouth, or maybe in this case, the horse's ass. I don't know. We'll get that update in about 15 minutes. We'll just bring in Shannon Kelly, talk a little Northern Nevada sports on this Thursday with Jeff Parles and Cofield. Shannon, how are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Great chatting with you, as always.
You are doing well, especially if you're covering Reno football, Wolfpack football, because it finally happened. Tell us what happened last week, because when we saw the score, we're like, what is this?
I think Wolfpack fans could wave the white flag after that game. Pretty crazy to see Nevada was up 31-0 at halftime, and that was the most points Nevada had scored all season long and then went on to win big, 55-10. So just a complete total team win on offense, defense, and special teams. Defense really got things started with a huge pick six. Nevada had five takeaways in that game against the Spartans. I really liked what Carter Jones was able to do in this game too, completed 16 and 19 of his attempts, and worked really well with Chubba Purdy too. I think, you know, that was interesting to see just given how, you know, things didn't necessarily work out for Chubba. He hasn't been the starter the last several weeks, but still having him get into that game, I think he was able to complement Carter well, had a couple of nice plays that were able to set Nevada up for success, and had a couple touchdowns of his own. So, just a complete win. I think you could certainly sense a sense of relief from the coaching staff and the coaches after that one.
Well, let's build on what happened at running back, because the Pack wound up getting the offensive player of the week. Why did it work so well? And yeah, I know Purdy on the ground had 51 yards, but the running back exploded.
Yeah, Caleb Ranzier, I mean, he rushed for more than 100 yards, the first running back to do that for Nevada this season. But I think really it just comes down to the blocking. You just look at the offensive line and how the wide receivers were able to block on the perimeter in that game, and which just able to open up those holes for him. I mean, Ramsey is a tough guy, a tough running back. And just the way that the offense is played as a whole, it just felt like everything was going right for the Wolfpack. So I think you got to give a lot of credit just to the blocking and to the offensive line for putting together a really nice game on Saturday.
I like the openness of Jeff Choate. Sometimes I think he's a little too open, and especially when things were really, you know, really rough there, it was like, all right, coach, maybe let's dial it down a little bit. But I do admire this. After he wins, he took to the dais and he's like, I mean, frankly, it's embarrassing that it took me this long to get that done, to be candid with you. That is one of the likable things about him, is that he's never going to get too high. He's never going to get too low. He's pretty consistent. And I kind of like that he mentioned it, like, hey, I understand here. I'm not going to go crazy celebrating our first win because it should have happened a while ago.
Yeah, and, you know, he said after that, he's like, hey, it's back to work for us. Like, it was one game. It was one win. But, yeah, I mean, I had asked him in the postgame press conference, like, does it feel like there's a weight lifted off of your shoulders? Because he said multiple times he's not naive to this. He knows it's a production-based business. And, you know, the fact that Nevada's just been so close in so many games, even dating back to last season, it just feels like, you know, there's certainly a sigh of relief. But, you know, I appreciate that he was candid too, because he knows that, hey, this isn't good enough. We need to be better than this.
Shannon, what are we looking at this upcoming week? A trip to Laramie to take on the Wyoming Cowboys.
Yeah, a trip to cold Laredice on Saturday for the Wolfpack. Josh Allen's getting his number retired at halftime. So it's going to be a sold-out crowd in Laramie on Saturday. Talking with some of the guys this week, though, they said they're excited for that challenge, excited to play in front of a full house. We'll see, you know, if some of this momentum can carry over a little bit. But I think it just instills the belief and the confidence in these players that, hey, they can go out there and, you know, put together four full quarters and come out with a win. But I think, you know, it's going to be a dogfight, though. I think it's really going to come down to who's stronger in the trenches, who can make the least mistakes on offense, who's not going to give the ball up. You know, maybe some special teams play, too. I think that's got to be pretty sound. So who's going to be able to run the ball? I think that's the biggest thing that I'm looking for on Saturday.
Let's go over to the hardwood, Shannon. Just not a good week for Steve Alford's squad. A loss at a really good Santa Clara team, but then the loss 2 days ago at home against UC Davis is not one you want to see.
Yeah, the UC Davis one, that was a tough one to see, because heading into that game, Nevada was, I want to say, like a double-digit favorite. So I think they just couldn't hit a shot, couldn't make enough shots down the stretch. They had a really long drought there at the end of the game that they just couldn't hit a field goal. But I think they've got to get better defensively, especially at the three-point defensive line. I mean, you know, opponents, it feels like right now, are just taking advantage of Nevada in that aspect. It is early in the season, but I think, you know, since that season opener against Louisiana Tech, you know, the team hasn't necessarily been the same per se, but obviously there's much different opponents. As you mentioned, the Santa Clara team, I think that's the best team Nevada's faced so far, but how can they get back to, you know, playing sound and rhythm fundamentals together, especially on defense?
I don't want to make it seem like panic, but this is a pretty significant game on Saturday at home against a reasonable UC Santa Barbara Gaucho squad, because on Thanksgiving night, the game after that is the neutral site game against a pretty good Washington team coming up.
Yeah, you don't want to head to your MTE tournament next week, you know, dropping two games at home. But yeah, UCSB, they're not going to be a slouch at all. I mean, they're going to be hungry coming in here. They've been off to a pretty good start this year themselves, so that's not going to be easy. So I think, you know, how is Nevada responding now? Yesterday, today, tomorrow, to gear up for this Gauchos team? Because, yeah, it's not going to be easy for them. But I think defensively, they've got to shore up some things, you know, if they want to be able to stay in this game. But it felt like in that UC Davis game, it just felt like right when Nevada was able to get themselves back into it, they just weren't in it. And, you know, it's obviously early, but a lot of work to be done before Mountain West play begins.
Shannon Kelly's with us from Nevada Sportsnet in Northern Nevada. Of course, every day from 4 to 5, we are on Ian Reno. The hour is brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is the number to call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Dial 775 in the north. Back to football for a second. I saw on the recruiting trail one good note, one not so good note. Was there a commit that flipped from Nevada to Washington State?
There was local product Brady Hummel over at Spanish Springs High School, helping guide the Cougars to the 5A state championship game, which will be down at Allegiant Stadium on Tuesday. But flipped from Nevada to Washington State, he had committed to the Wolfpack a couple months ago. It was interesting, actually, when I was shooting one of the Cougars games a couple weeks ago, there was actually a Washington State scout out there watching him. So I think they really wanted him, and sure enough, they're getting him. But he held a handful of offers too, from Air Force, Navy, Army, I want to say, and some other Division I schools. But yeah, exciting that to see, you know, if he felt like that was the best fit for him. He's a really talented wide receiver and safety. He's been the back-to-back Northern 5A MVP, so he's a good player and a good kid, and hopefully things will work out for him up at Wazoo.
They did land a JUCO running back though, right, this week?
They did, yeah. Janarius Jackson from Feather River College. He's in his second season, not too far away from here in Reno at the junior college. But yeah, he's 20 rushing touchdowns. He looks like a pretty strong between the tackles kind of guy, which is what Nevada wants and what they need. So I think that was a pretty big get for their room. They had a lot of recruits here on campus this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see if some more commits trickle in with signing day next month. But that was a huge get, because Caleb Ramsier, he is a senior, and when we talked to him this week, he said he's preparing like, you know, these are his last couple games at Nevada. You know, who knows with the whole JUCO ruling thing from a couple seasons ago how that'll work out for players. But yeah, I think that was a huge get for the Wolfpack to land a running back like Jackson.
Yeah, Shannon Kelly, last minute here. Is there going to be a crowd for the battle for the cannon? Does it depend on the weather, or does that win at least get people fired up to come to the game and, you know, try to take out the program that is a little bit ahead of the pack right now in this rivalry?
Well, I guess we'll see what happens in Laramie on Saturday. No. I mean, I think some people will come out just because it is the UNLV game. I think it's tough with it being Thanksgiving weekend. Students probably not on campus that weekend. A lot of them will be going home. But hey, I think the weather could play a role too, but hopefully fans will come out, because, you know, the community has to support this team. If they want to continue to grow and they want to continue to get better, they need support from the community. So hopefully they'll get a good crowd, since it is the final game and nonetheless against the in-state rival.
The Rebels have won 3 in a row in the series, 5 of 7. I expect it to be a little bit chilly when I'm out there. I know you'll be working the opposite sideline. If we do a trade, because you talked a lot, I actually asked you a lot last year about your heated vest. How about I get the heated vest and I will give you some Rebel socks that you can wear?
Hard pass. Thank you for the offer.
Yes. Well, yeah. You can wear them. And you can wear them and just make sure your pants are like tucked into your shoes.
I can't do that.
I know
no,
you can't. That's why I said it. I know you can't. So that's why I said it. All right, Shannon, we'll catch up with you next week.
I can send you a link. I can send you a link, though, to buy a heated vest. It'll get here in time.
It was more about the socks. You getting the socks. I will find my heated vest. I'll see you, okay?
All right. See you next week.
There she is, Shannon Kelly, Nevada Sportsnet.
Just past the halfway point of Cofield and Company. We are back at the Thomas and Mack before Runner Rebel games on the weekdays. So getting ready for St. Joe's in town against your Running Rebels. But it's a big night here because Dan Mullen radio show will be coming from the Thomas and Mack at 6 o'clock on ESPN Las Vegas, followed by Running Rebel warm-up with Tim Nevert and myself. On the radio side, the game is on TV, Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network, with Matt Nevert and Curtis Terry. Nice job scanning the internets for updates. This was a story that had been hot and heavy, Jeff, on social media, but not really sourced, because a lot of times, well, most times, we have a little higher standard before we can just throw something out there. But the rumor had been running for the last 3 days that George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb had been held out, what was it, the first six plays of the Monday night game?
Yep.
And the reason was because they were hanging out at Red Rock. They were seen at 7:30 in the morning, and CeeDee Lamb was hurling. Have they spoken on this now?
CeeDee Lamb did say that they were out and about, but he was beyond incensed at the insinuation that he could not handle his alcohol. So, vehemently denying that he did not projectile vomit at Red Rock in public.
Wait, was that, I didn't see that part of the report. Did someone claim that he projectile vomited, like he did it at a table or something?
No, I'm just, look, there's a lot of crazy stuff going across the internet, but yeah. He was not happy at the insinuation that he was in public, let's just say public distress. Let's just go with that there, Cofield.
Yeah, Calvin Watkins, who works out of Dallas for the Dallas News, tweeted, CeeDee Lamb said he and George Pickens missed curfew before the game at Las Vegas. The two were having dinner and a few drinks at Red Rock. Nice job by Calvin, actually, tagging Red Rock. So Red Rock gets some credit for the guys having a good time. Lamb denied he was throwing up at the casino. He said it's a disrespect to even suggest that. That's what he's worked up about. Not that he got outed on missing curfew or hanging out maybe a little too late. He said it's a disrespect to suggest that. And Lamb said he knows how to hold his liquor.
I get it from CeeDee. I'd be annoyed if that was falsely floating around on the internet. I agree with him on that. I just wonder what restaurant, because there's obviously a ton of good eats up there. I just wonder where they were eating in there.
That's a good point, actually. Maybe Red Rock doesn't want that out there. Right? Was it the food, or was it drinking too much? Well, he said hold liquor, so. Jeff, you'll find out that I ask questions that may put you on the griddle here.
Go ahead.
When's the last time you hurled from drinking? I don't even know if you're a drinker.
I am a very limited drinker.
Okay.
Very limited, but it has been, oh boy, when was that? That was 2000, a little under a decade ago. Under a decade ago. It's been a while.
What'd you drink?
Oh, that was a night on Broadway in Nashville, so I can't even tell you.
You already forgot.
Yeah, no, I can't. I can tell this story. My past employer doesn't care and such, but I was there in Nashville for SEC Media Days, and we went out and it was a fun night, but the following morning, there was that, and also when I went to go tie my shoes, I fell on my face. So that just shows.
That's a night.
Yeah, it was quite a night and morning the next day. Yeah.
Yeah, I hold it pretty well. I'm like CeeDee Lamb, except I don't have the money, or I probably can't afford to eat where he was eating. But I hold it pretty well. I think my last time might be back, 15 years ago.
Well, you got me beat. You're like Jerry Seinfeld then. No black and white cookies to mess up the vomit streak.
Well, to your point about that you're not a frequent drinker, I can't say that. So I've just learned to hold it over the years. And some real dangerous stuff. Some real dangerous stuff. I think there's some Jaeger in there. I'm trying to think. We I got a lot of stories. I don't want to tell them all. A lot of stories. I was just thinking back of people trying to drink with us, and now I'm referencing the couple, the SO. It's not smart to do it, because neither one of us will lose it. Actually, the SO will lose it, but she bounces right back. I do not. That is not a sound I like hearing. I don't want to be vomiting. So good for CeeDee Lamb if he didn't vomit, but, you know, might be some truth to it. Scott Seidenberg, probably smart. He's like, I'm not going down to the strip with F1. Maybe you will. I don't know. Scott, are you going to try to head around F1 and watch the event?
No, I'll be downtown. We got working all weekend, but also it's a Neon City Festival this weekend. A lot of good events going on here in town.
It's a good point. And this is one of those places you can be downtown and have no idea that the F1 thing is even happening. We hold exactly. This one is going to be a little overwhelming, but we can do events here in different parts of town, and you're like, oh, that's going on over there. I had no idea. Let's get to a little Thursday night football.
Makes the city great.
Sorry, let's get to a little Thursday night football to start. What do we want to do with the Bills and the Texans?
I've been impressed with what I've seen in the second half, at least from Davis Mills in the last couple of games. Like, he has really turned it on. This offense certainly is capable of doing things. Nico Collins would be the guy I would look to target if I'm looking at some player props. He's at 5.5 receptions, and if you just look at the two games that he's played with Davis Mills, he is the go-to target for Mills, and that's what you do when you're a backup quarterback and you come into a game. It's let me feed the best player on my team, and so he's going to continue to force-feed Nico Collins here against the Buffalo Bills in a game that I do think they'll be trailing in. But I actually like their rookie running back, Woody Marks. You know, D'Amico Ryans came out the other day, or maybe last week, and was saying that our rookies are not rookies anymore, and it's time that they get more involved in our offense. And we've seen Woody Marks kind of take over as the lead back in this offense, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has a successful night here against the Bills, who just got eaten up by Sean Tucker last week of the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Yeah, down to 5 now across the board on that game. So they gobbled up those 6s and now at 5.5 across the board. Scott, going to Sunday, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers, we think will attempt to play in this game. You see some juice 2.5s and some 3s in the market with the Bears at home.
Yeah, it's unfortunate you can't really do anything until you get the news about what the quarterback situation is going to be. But just thinking about it, like, is Mason Rudolph that big of a drop-off from Aaron Rodgers? He is probably one of the more capable backups that we have here in the NFL. And the fact that we're seeing the Bears here as the favorite, I get it. Like, they've looked good, but there's also, I don't want to call them paper tigers, but there's been many games where you can certainly look at their win-loss record and say, okay, maybe they're legit. I will say Caleb Williams has gotten better under Ben Johnson, and the defense has been played better, and the offensive line has been something that I don't think enough people are talking about how good this offensive line has been this year. But this is a real test going up against this Steelers pass rush. I think even if it is Mason Rudolph, I'd love to get a 3 here with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let's go to Baltimore. Tyrod Taylor starting for the Jets against the Ravens. 13.5 with Baltimore at home. And even though Lamar showed up again, Scott, every single week it's Lamar showing up on the injury report on Wednesday with some ailment that we did just finding out about.
So a couple of interesting things if you're monitoring the market in this. Let's talk about the Jets side of it first. The Jets were 14.5 point dogs. They made the announcement that it is Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, not Justin Fields. Line has gone down to 13.5. So clearly the market viewing Tyrod Taylor, as they are correct in doing so, as an upgrade over Justin Fields at the quarterback position. Now the other news, as you mentioned, Lamar Jackson back on the injury report, doesn't practice yesterday on Wednesday, and the line doesn't move. That's because Lamar did this last week. He didn't practice on Wednesday, and then he wound up playing on Sunday. And we can talk about whether he was as efficient as he normally is or he was banged up. But what the market's telling us is that, yeah, you know what? This is normal. This is par for the course. Lamar missing a practice on Wednesday, he's probably still going to play, which is why we haven't seen any movement off the 13.5.
Another big line. Now with a road favorite. Seattle, almost 2 touchdowns in Nashville against the Titans.
Seattle's good. I mean, yeah, they're real good. And this is Mike McDonald. That was the first loss on the road for Mike McDonald in 11 games. Like, they had won 10 straight road games under this head coach here for Seattle. There's something about them. And but by the way, they covered last week. Okay, so let that sink in. As bad as Sam Darnold was, and by the way, maybe it's just a Sam Darnold against the Rams, because you look at that game in the playoffs last year. That was the worst game that we've seen from Sam Darnold with the 9 sacks for the Vikings. That came against the Rams. And that performance on Sunday was his worst performance since he was seeing ghosts against the Patriots when he was the Jets quarterback. But all that aside, the Seahawks were still in a position to kick a game-winning field goal. That just goes to show you how talented this team is. When their quarterback turns the football over as many times as he did, they're still in contention to win a game. He'll be much cleaner and much more effective against the Titans. I think this is a good spot to back Seattle to bounce back.
Scott, not a particularly sexy game next, but Falcons small road favorites at New Orleans. Kirk Cousins is in. Michael Penix is done. Drake London's not playing. Scott, can you talk me out of taking the Saints here?
Well, the Saints are the favorites. So, you're seeing this. This is one of those things where the market clearly is looking at, well, Kirk Cousins playing, right? And so how much of a downgrade is that from what we saw here from Michael Penix? You're also monitoring the status of Drake London. So that's the biggest thing here. With Drake London being banged up, we're seeing the Saints open up as the favorite and the Saints maintaining their spot as the favorite here. Falcons have been very unimpressive. And Raheem Morris has taken a lot of heat for what has gone down with this season, has gone down so far this season with Atlanta. I don't like backing New Orleans here, but without Drake London and with the way that we've seen Cousins play in limited time this year, it's hard to back Atlanta here.
Getting leans and likes for the weekend from Scott Seidenberg here on ESPN Las Vegas. Okay. Let's talk a little Dallas and Eagles, and I guess people are fired up about what they saw with the Cowboys against the Raiders. I still think you got to consider it was the Raiders, but the line is shrinking.
It was the Raiders, exactly. And for all the turmoil that's going on here with the Eagles, I think it's just nonsense, right? So, like, A.J. Brown's in the news every single week. They're talking about the dysfunction of this offense. We've seen this story play out before, and then it winds up being totally fine for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they'll be fine here against the Dallas Cowboys. The one thing I will say is that Dallas bringing in Quinn Williams from the New York Jets at the trade deadline boosts their run defense significantly. And we saw that play out against the Raiders as Ashton Jeanty wasn't able to do anything on the ground. So I do think that's one aspect that you have to kind of take from your previous evaluations of how poor this Cowboys defense has played this year and upgrade their run defense because of Quinnen Williams now at the nose tackle position. I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. The Eagles are going to wear probably those Kelly Green uniforms. That's what's being reported. And they're like 5-0 when they wear those Kelly Green uniforms. So you don't want to buck that trend, do you?
Scott, what do you want to do with Kansas City and the Colts?
I want to hammer the Chiefs. Like, this is my best bet of the week. And I'm not afraid of the number being, north of a field goal. This line, like last week, made no sense to me. So last week, the Chiefs were 4-point favorites in Denver. That line pretty much made no sense. But let's just extrapolate what the market was telling us. The market was telling us that Kansas City was viewed as 6 points better than the Denver Broncos last week. Okay, well, now they're 3.5-point home favorites over the Indianapolis Colts. Well, that's the market telling us that the Chiefs are maybe 2 points better power rated wise than Indianapolis. I'm sorry, something doesn't add up here, because Indy is not 4 points better than Denver. Denver was a 1.5-point favorite in week two at Indy earlier this season, right? And tell me, if you want to upgrade Indy from where they were earlier in this season, that's great. You want to downgrade the Chiefs a little bit off of that performance last week? Okay. I still don't get to this number. It doesn't make sense. The Chiefs should be higher favorites at home here. I think this is a hammer spot for a Chiefs team that is playing with their season on the line here on Sunday.
Scott Seidenberg, Better Day Podcast, and VSIN. You can hear him on Saturday and Sunday evenings, and also on our station, 12:30 The Game, one of our sister stations. All right, tell me what you think of the Lions and the Giants and the Lions here coming off a loss.
13-0. It's what you need to know. The Lions have won 13 straight games straight up in ATS under Dan Campbell and Jared Goff after a loss. It's a smash spot for them every time they come off of a loss. The Giants will be the sacrificial lambs here this week as the Lions get back on track at home. Score a ton of points here with Dan Campbell now as the new play caller for this offense, and they will improve to 14-0 straight up in ATS in their last 14 after a loss.
We joked about the Raiders playing the Cowboys and looking pretty embarrassing in doing so. Now they're going against a guy who looks completely unprepared to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I got this at 3 on, I don't know, Sunday evening. Now the Raiders are 4. Do you want to take the Raiders?
Does anybody want to bet the Raiders? Like, well, why?
Apparently I did.
Why do you want to bet the Raiders? Listen, I get it. I get it, Steve, because I don't like Shedeur Sanders at quarterback. And you're talking to a guy that I've went public with my pre-draft bets, and I feel like I'm not going to sit here and like toot my own horn, but it felt like I was the only one that was betting his over draft prop and taking the massive plus money on him to not be a first-round pick. So that was one of my greatest cashes during the NFL draft this season. So I'm very anti-Shedeur Sanders. But here's what I am very high on: the Browns' defense. In the trenches, the Browns are one of the best defensive lines in all of football. And we saw that the Cowboys were able to shut down this running attack with Dash and Genty and were able to pressure Geno Smith. What do you think the Browns are going to do against this Raiders offensive front? I'm sorry. This line is getting away from us. It's got to be Browns or pass here at this number.
Scott, let's go to college. Big game here in town tomorrow. Rebels welcome Hawaii. 2.5 and 3 in the market with the Rebs, a small home favorite.
Yeah, the total is where the play is, guys. You got to go over. And I'm sure Steve can kind of confirm this, but I believe they're opening up the upper bowl at Allegiant to accommodate the fan demand here for this game. We know it is pretty much a de facto home game for Hawaii, right? And it is a homecoming for Hawaii quarterback Mike Alahato, who was a star here at Bishop Gorman. One of my favorite bets in this game is actually Alahato to throw for over 2.5 touchdown passes. You can get that around minus 130 juice. But I think he's going to have a field day against this UNLV defense that has allowed the third most chunk yard plays in the country, the third most 30-plus yard plays allowed by a defense in the nation this season. I think that if you look at what UNLV has done at home this year, certainly they score a ton of points. They're averaging 36.6 points per game at Allegiant Stadium. They're allowing 33.6 points per game here at Allegiant Stadium. I can't see this game being a low-scoring game. I think both offenses will have success. I wanted to take Hawaii with the points. I really did. But I'm just worried about UNLV putting up 40 points and winning by margin here. So that's why I stayed off of that. And instead, I just played the over between these two programs.
Scott Soddenberg's with us here on ESPN Las Vegas. Okay, big game in Eugene. Is this too big a number with Oregon and USC?
I think it is. Taking 10 points now is just getting a little out of hand. Now, Oregon's great, but they haven't faced a team like USC all season long. USC, meanwhile, is pretty battle-tested, right? They scored 24 points at Notre Dame, and we know how good this Notre Dame defense has been. They've been one of the best units in college football over the past 7-8 weeks, and they scored 24 against Notre Dame. They scored 26 against Iowa in the rain last week. And yes, Oregon's defense has been good, third best in yards per play defense in the country, but they haven't faced an offense like UNLV this season, like USC this season. USC number one in yards per play, number two in success rate, number two in adjusted EPA per play. 10 points is way too much. And when we kind of do the point spread comparison, like I did with that Kansas City Chiefs game against the Colts, USC was a 10 to 10.5 point dog at Notre Dame. Now they're 10-point dogs at Oregon. I'm sorry, Notre Dame's better than Oregon. Notre Dame's power rated higher than Oregon. This line is just getting too far away from us. It's you got to take USC plus the points.
Scott, as always, good energy. Love it. Great leans and likes. We'll talk to you, buddy.
Anytime, guys.
There he is, Scott Soddenberg, Better Day Podcast. VSIN, he does evenings on Saturday and Sunday night. And then, yeah, I'm going to say again, he slipped in something there about the Hawaii and the attendance and de facto home game. I think when people hear us do it, we say that about the attendance. They think we're busting chops. I'm telling you, Hawaii fans are going to show up. Rebel fans, get out there.